Welcome to Glassbreakers Cafe, the podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom and insight on the future, leadership, and career development. Our goal is to inspire you and empower you to live an unlimited and smart future by breaking free from limiting beliefs, firefighting, and the invisible walls of our society. I'm your host, Cindy Mongeni, future of work expert, diversity accelerator, executive coach, and international speaker. Welcome to Glassbreakers Cafe, the podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom and their insight on the future, leadership, and career development. Our special guest today is Mara Edelen, the director of US Sprint Sales at HP. Welcome, Mara.
Hi.
And thanks a lot for stopping by at Glassbreakers Cafe.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And Mara, so we could get to know you a bit better, can you give us an overview of your role and responsibility as a director of US Sprint Sales at HP?
Yes, absolutely. So I've been at HP 13 years in total, but for the past 6 years, I've been a director in the sales organization. And so 4 of those years I spent in the commercial space. So some of our more mid-market accounts, and we sold both PCs and printers. And then for the past 2 years, we've been just focused on print only. So a lot of contractual, a lot of learning and stretching and growing for, you know, me and my team in that regard. And yeah, we're just responsible for some of the biggest relationships on the planet when it comes to managing their print fleet. My team roughly drives about $1 billion worth of business per year, wow, which is excellent. About 50% of that is managed print contract, and then the rest transactional. So it's been quite a ride with COVID and people leaving the office, but it's really helped us develop our muscle around solutions and, you know, other things that really matter to customers' workflow when it comes to print. So, yeah.
Awesome. And for many, working in tech is like the big dream job, but it was not the case for you, because I know a bit about your story. So how did you stumble into tech?
Yeah, so I actually came from banking and finance. So in college, I started at Wells Fargo, like many people, and, you know, worked my way up, teller supervisor, banker, which was fantastic. But I graduated from Arizona State University. I moved to Los Angeles with the boyfriend at the time. And, you know, we were on this journey to, you know, build wealth and do all these great things, but it all came crashing down. So I had lost the job. I had lost the boyfriend. I had a couple of houses I had invested in my college years that went into foreclosure. So everything, it just, you know, he gives and he takes. So everything just failed. So for me, I had to call my mom, and I'm like, Mom, can I come back home? Which home for me is Albuquerque, New Mexico. So when I got here, gosh, I mean, so many things, Cindy, when it comes to like my ego, my pride, I mean, a lot of things were very hard for me when I first started out here in Albuquerque. But a couple weeks in, I had a good friend from high school. She also actually went to college with me as my roommate. Her name is Sarah. And she's like, hey, HP is hiring. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, I don't know anything about technology. And she's like, no, it's sales, you'll be fine. So I went into my first interview. I kind of chuckle looking back. It was an 11-minute interview. I remember calling my mom and I'm like, I'm done with the interview. And she's like, did it go good or bad? I'm like, I have no clue. Like, I have no idea. And they were asking me questions like, what do you know about a computer? And I'm like, I know it has a keyboard. I know how to turn it on. But the other gentleman said, no, she has what it takes to, you know, learn this new discipline and those things. So I went through like a 6-week training and boot camp. And then I got thrown into the, we called it the inbound queue. So customers from all over the country would dial in to ask questions about print and PC. So you had to learn tech very quickly. And back then we also sold servers, storage, software. So I had to learn about RAID, how things connected into the overall infrastructure. It was very fast paced. So I actually stumbled upon it out of like necessity, finding a job, you know, HP showing up. And the last thing I would add about that is, you know, when I started, it was a job for me. I was like, I just need to stack money. I need a rocket in my sales quota attainment, and I need to get out of my mom's house and get a car. But over time, with some great managers and great leaders, I was just more and more inspired to work the career aspect of it. And I just love it. I love what we do. I love that the technology is constantly changing. But yeah, that's how I ended up in tech.
And I love it because, like, in this story, we could see like the resilience, right? Bouncing back, because if starting out of college, you were already like working and also investing, like, imagine like it was like early 20s, like early age. So you were like really well advanced in building like this financial freedom. Then the crisis and starting from scratch, as you were mentioning, for Diego, this is like really tough moments. So I love the story of adaptability, being open also to new opportunities, the mindset of learning and resilience. And as you were mentioning, there was like also another mindset shift of this is no longer be a job, but I would be inspired to build a career. And this led me to another question, because 13 years at HP, 6 years already as a director, being a woman, in tech, this is still like super rare.
Yes.
So what were like the key elements that position you to really like also grow fast? Because that means that after like 7 years at HP, you were already a director, and some people spend decades without reaching the manager level or the director level. So what would you say were the key elements or moments or persons who help you to be where you are today?
Yeah. Definitely a lot of people, but I kind of think of like three things when you ask that, that come to mind. So interestingly enough, because I lost it all, I used to really keep personal and professional separate, right? Now I feel like it's very blended for me. But in my personal life, I was just on a rebuilding rant, right? I just had a lot of things that I needed to fix on the inside. You know, I had to get back to my faith. I had to get back to being more outward focused. And so I started volunteering a little bit more in the community, just doing things that were outside of just about Mara winning. It was more about, you know, other people. I think through that, that's actually where I personally discovered some of my skills that I didn't know I had and gifts, and things that I was like, that's not so much my skill. And I bring that up because HP managers are wonderful, absolutely wonderful about talking about your career. And, you know, for those first 5-6 years, it was always, Mara, what do you want to do with your career? There's, you know, thousands of jobs you can go for. And I was like, nope, I'm good. I'm killing my number, stacking my money. I'm good. But I had a really, really good manager, Guillermo, one day say, hey, have you ever thought about management? And I was like, I don't want to do that. But he's like, no, seriously, you know, you coach sports, right? You're participating at church, being a teacher and those kinds of things. He's like, you're a go-to on the team. You're a, you know, high performer. I think you'd actually be like really, really good at being a manager. And so he introduced me to Brian, who was our site VP. I had my very first meeting with him. And up until this point, what I would share, Cindy, is I was not someone who got involved on site. So we have like business impact networks and, you know, philanthropy teams. And I was not the person that got involved. So I meet with Brian, I share with him some of what I'm sharing with you about my, you know, experiences and, you know, my hit job history. And he's like, hey, I have a services manager role. Would you be interested in hearing more? Which you don't tell a VP no. You're like, yep, sure. That sounds good. And so I, you know, get into the conversation. I start to get a little excited, like, okay, yeah, I could see myself going for these roles. So I interviewed for the first time, and I'll tell you, Cindy, I had no clue how to work a career, how to go for a job. And so within like a couple of weeks, I had a couple of really good mentors teach me some things. They're like, have you studied the ecosystem of the job, met with those individuals, and prepared yourself to go in with a plan and key takeaways? I was like, nope. Do you have a LinkedIn and a network? No. Do you have air cover? You know, someone at a higher level that could really say, yep, Mara's the right person for the job. I'm like, had none of that. But I chipped in 2 weeks. I just went hard at it. I'm a competitor. So I just went hard after all the things these mentors were sharing with me, because I had no sense. I came in second place in that role, which I didn't love. But I learned so much in a short, you know, window of time. Mm-hmm. There were other manager roles that I went for. So the first thing was just all around, I was going through a lot personally and changing a lot. I had a manager who recognized that and started connecting me with a great network. I think from there, what really helped me is I did start getting involved. So things that really moved me, things that really got me excited. Like the biggest example I can think of is when we were hiring reps into Rio Rancho, into our teams, there wasn't a rhyme or reason as to why we would hire them at a level one versus a level four. And so some of these reps, when they start to get 7-8 years into their role, they wanted to know, how do I keep the same role, but how do I keep growing? And so we created this whole project called Line of Sight, where we started to develop what does that mean so you can create careers. So that kind of stuff, like I just had a heart for that, right? I was like, yes, let's get all about it. So things like that started to actually show everyone at the site, how does Mara work? What is it that she drives, right? So whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I started to create some visibility for myself. So when a director role came up, I am someone who plants the seed. We had a new, you know, VP come in. It wasn't Brian. His name was Sam. And I just, you know, there's 32 managers at the time. And so I just kind of forwardly was like, hey, I don't know if you have someone picked for your director role, but I would love to throw my name in the hat. I wasn't ready. I hadn't been preparing. but I wanted to set a tone with him that I'm a go-to, I'm a go-getter, I'm ambitious, and I love serving other people. And while he did already have someone picked for that director role, when the next one came up, he did ask me to go for it. And so again, the second thing was all about getting involved, making sure people understood who you were, making sure I just wasn't speaking for myself in an interview, others could speak for me.
Yes.
And then the last thing I would say, you know, outside of planting that seed, I think how you fail matters. So me and two other women went for the director role. None of us got it, Cindy. We all were told, sorry, we're going back to the drawing board. You know, great job. I was so genuinely grateful for the experience. It motivated me to actually continue to do better in my role. So about a month later, this guy, Sam, comes back and says, hey, do you want to interview again? Which I didn't even know what that meant. I'm like, what do you mean interview again? And his comments were all along the line of, the way you took not getting the job showed a certain level of maturity and responsibility that everyone really feels confident in you. And so that wasn't my intention, obviously. That's just how I genuinely was feeling. But I think that's the third thing that really helped me get here is, you know, taking the losses as just learning moments to keep pushing forward, to keep, you know, grinding, to keep, you know, hustling to the next thing that you want to do.
Yeah, and we see again like this resiliency that you showcase in different aspects of your life. And I love you sharing your story, because many times, especially in the early on the career, and even I've met people after like more than 10 years working, some people think like you just need to deliver the work. And there is so much more, as you were mentioning, like this ecosystem, the visibility, the mentors, the being involved and being the network. So I hope like the audience is taking a lot of notes, because it was like a great playbook. And also, if you want more, I really recommend the audience to follow Mara, because she does a lot of great tips on career, because you can tell like she's passionate about helping other people growing their career too. But Mara, being like a director around like more maybe 1 billion revenue, this is a privilege, because not everybody has this opportunity, but also there are challenges and a lot of responsibilities. And currently we are still like going through the aftermath of the pandemic. So 2 years of pandemic, going first through quarantine, then many went through losses of loved ones. Now there is like this return to the office. So those are not easy shifts. So as a leader, what were the leadership muscles that you've developed to first lead yourself through this difficult period, but also lead your team? So I would love to get your take on this.
Yeah, I think one thing, it probably took me 6 or 7 months to even grasp this, but I noticed that when you're not face-to-face, you have to work twice as hard to maintain engagement and connection, which is really challenging, right? In the office, you could just walk by someone. As we all know, you can feel the vibe. You can read the energy in a room. You know, over a Zoom, in this little, you know, 12-inch window we've all been operating in, you know, people show up a different way than maybe they're actually feeling. And so, you know, you hear a lot now about leading with empathy. Mm-hmm. I think leaders who have been in the game, you know, 20, 30 years, they were all your high performers, high financial acumen, right? They all just clocked at a very certain level. And I think we still need those type of leaders. But I think empathy is totally different. I would tell you things like, you know, when someone says, oh, my child's sick, I think all of us back in, you know, before COVID would be like, oh yeah, no problem. But on the inside, you're like, okay, but you can still deliver the work. Now I think it's like, oh my gosh, let's stop what we're doing. How can I support you? How can I lean in hard? Yep, I got it. I just think the way we've leaned into teams is different. So I think that's a big part of it. I think the other muscle I developed is honestly how to show up. Mm. You know, interestingly enough, we actually at the site never used to turn on our camera. I think of the VP I work with a lot. Her name is Sandy. I would only see her visually like 3 or 4 times a year. Now I see her like twice a week. But I think there's power in some of the tools and muscles we've developed. I think people do feel more connected. It's not the same, but the way I've connected across the globe, across LinkedIn, you know, I just feel like you're no longer in this box or in these 4 walls at a building. Right now you can really reach a completely different audience in different ways. And I think because we're all receive information through different mediums now, it's allowed me to diversify how I connect. So it's like, yep, I can do face-to-face, which mm-hmm. is my preference, by the way. I could do Zoom. I could do quick, you know, 30-minute videos that kind of give someone a little inspiration or pump for the day. You know, I feel like I've developed these other things that I never, ever explored before. And so I just feel like my reach and my touch is different because, you know, I've diversified, you know, how I approach people and, you know, how I coach.
No, I love it. And it's flexibility. And I think this is really going forward, a big element in the toolkit of the leader is to be able like to have this empathy. But as you are mentioning, also sometimes you need to go back to this more directional way of leadership, because sometimes this is what is needed on the situation.
Yeah.
And also with the pandemic, we've seen a lot of trends that were already like coming through, but there was like this acceleration. Yep. And one of the trends is social selling. You are in sales, corporate sales. How are you embracing this new trend? And how are you leading your team to adopt this digital mindset, taking into consideration that you are working for a major company and generally changes might not be like so easy if it's like really a small startup? So
yeah,
what can you share about this kind of?
So I do jam out to this topic because I'm now a believer in social selling. I did no social media prior to the pandemic, even LinkedIn. It was just my online resume. It was not something I was, honestly, I wasn't doing any kind of social listening, definitely wasn't showing up and posting, you know, any content. So ironically, before COVID, we saw this as a trend, right? Social selling. Mm-hmm. And so we had a summer intern come in and talk to us a little bit about, or not talk to us, but recommend how we could get a sales team onboarded to social selling. So she did a lot of investigating, a lot of with meeting with teams. And when she came back at the end of the summer, she's like, okay, so your sales force is starting way behind the curve. She's like, the generic understanding of what it is, why it's important, how to build a brand. She's like, it's not even existent. So you need to slow down. Like you cannot throw at people a 30-minute, you know, profile picture, thought leadership, a great about section and go. Like do in mail. She's like, mm-mm. You need to slow it all the way down. So we actually took, you know, we did it in waves, right? We did it on a volunteer basis. So if you're a salesperson who wants to join, great. But we created the program for us salespeople by us salespeople. We did not bring in experts. We just said, okay, we're salespeople. How do we learn? You know, how do we fail and test different things? How do we pilot? And then how do we actually implement? So over 4 weeks, we really just spent time on like how to build your brand. What does the customer want to hear? How do you build a strategy? Oh, and then how do you write articles and video? I think what I learned is over the course of time, you know, as a salesperson, we're coin operated. So at first you're like, I just need this to bring me some more POs. but I think that's completely flipped for me. At the end of the day, people do business with people and people partner with people. And so showing up on social media is not about just about, oh, let me find some new connections because I need to set up a sales call and a sales meeting. It's about them getting to know the 360 of you and wanting to do business with someone like yourself. And we do have some sellers that still struggle with that, right? They're like, I just want to keep it business. I just want to post, you know, information about HP. But believe it or not, right, people care more about those intimate parts of you. They care more about, you know, how you do things with family, how you do things in the community. You know, that's where we connect. I have a good friend, Chloe, who says it's like the digital golf course, but it's true. It's like what you would talk about at dinner or golf or whatever, you know, we used to do with customers. It's a way for them to learn. So for me, I'm a firm believer in it. I've seen a lot of success and genuine connections come out of it, a lot of good engagement. And then for me, in my role, yes, I care about the customer. But my actual reason for showing up is all about diversity. You know, I think all of us understand the power of, you know, diversity. So I actually show up on LinkedIn so other people who look like me, they see, oh, someone like Mara, right, who's younger, female, minority. She works at HP. Oh, by the way, here's the culture. Here's how she's able to thrive. Here's how she can bring her authentic self, whether it's professional or sassy, right? This is how she can show up, and HP loves that, right? And so I think for everyone, it's a little different, but I strongly believe in just showing up socially, whether it's selling or not. I think we're all brand advocates, and showing up matters for our customers.
Love it. And I can see also how you want like really getting the buying of your team. You didn't like force them upon this trend, but so I really like love this part of to sell the idea. So Mara, we went through future trends, social selling, we went to leadership, we've learned about your career development. So we really delivered of the three pillars of this podcast, meaning that we are coming to an end. So when we're having fun, time is flying.
Yes.
And the last question, Gemini, is more about like, let's dream. So in your case, if you could have a superpower, because you're already like, we can see a Wonder Woman and Superwoman for everything you've been accomplished. And I know like more is yet to come, but what would be the superpower if you could have one more?
Gosh, I think it would be, I was going to say invisibility, because I feel like we usually think of superheroes, which I am an ever learner. So I think being invisible and sitting in certain meetings and learning would be amazing. You know, I really think it would be the ability to change the hearts of people. And why I say that is because we all handle things differently, right? For me, I feel like I have this cup of joy that's overflowing. And even when things get hard, I just, man, I'm just so grateful for so many things. And what I've noticed during COVID, right, it forced a lot of us, all of us, all of us into deep self-reflection. Mm-hmm. So some of us have risen out of it very different. We've grown a lot. We've, you know, explored different parts of ourselves. For other people, it took maybe whatever they were feeling, whether that's anxiousness or depression, and it took them into a deeper, darker place. And so as we've gone back into the office as an example, and I can feel and read people's energy, it's like even when they're the most blessed person, you know, you hear about what's going on, you're like, gosh, they got it going on. Their heart still isn't situated in a very positive light. And so I just think that could help a lot of things, right? We have a lot of turmoil happening in the world, all over the place, right? And I just think if you could change the hearts of people, potentially, like, it would be a very different world, and people would move into work and move into their personal relationships in a completely different way that I think, you know, could uplift them, but uplift the people around them as well.
I love it. Yes, because everything comes out of our heart, life or death, or good ideas or bad ideas. So I love, like, the superpower. And this is the first one that someone is sharing, because for this reason, I love to ask this question, because each time I'm learning something new about the guest and also a new superpower that we could strive. So thank you very much, Maria, for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your inspiration. As I was mentioning in one of the questions, I hope, like, the audience is taking a lot of notes. And I really recommend you to follow Maria on LinkedIn, so you could get more tips on career, social selling.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Maria.
Yes, so blessed. Thank you.
And for the audience, we are waiting for you for the next encounter in Glass Breakers Cafe next week. See you soon.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Glass Breakers Cafe, please subscribe and share with your friends on social media. Also, be sure to follow me, your host, Cindy Mongenet, on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If there is any special guest or special topic you would like us to address, please drop me a note at cindy@newskiesnation.com. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And remember, no one can predict the future, but we still need to prepare for it. See you next week.